Pastor Hans, he's been working on this Yes series, and we're going to continue that Yes series. So I'm hoping that I'm going to do a little justice to today. I'm not Pastor Hans. I'm not going to pretend to be Pastor Hans. I'm just not that cool, but that's okay. I can live with that. Hopefully you guys can too, but I'm going to live with that today. So last week, he was talking about saying yes to purpose. Now, we're going to continue from there, and we're actually going to talk about saying yes to the important versus the urgent, because the reality is we have a lot of things that we're all doing in our lives. There's so many things we're trying to juggle. We're trying to juggle kids, we're trying to juggle work, our spouses, school, whatever else you've got going on. There's all these things we're trying to deal with, and the reality is that our time is very limited. We're only given 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, so we're limited in what we have in our resources. And actually, time is deemed as your most valuable and most important resource. You know why that is? Because you can't get it back. Once it's gone, it's gone. If you lose money and make a bad money deal or whatever, you can recoup finances. You can't recoup time. So if you mismanage your time and misuse your time, you don't get it back. It's done. It's over with. So as we're juggling all these things, we have to get to the point to realize that what we're saying yes to means we're saying no to something else. And what we're saying no to, is it really worth wasting our time on the thing we're saying yes to? So we need to make sure whatever we're saying yes to is the most important things and the best things. So to kind of break that down and put that perspective, okay, I'm talking about the important versus the urgent. So what does that exactly mean? So I'm going to break this down. So imagine this, you're a business owner, and I know a few people in this church are business owners. But say you're a business owner, and you have a customer come up, and they complain about your customer service. They say how the customer service was bad and everything else, and you have to deal with that situation, right? So dealing with that situation would be deemed as dealing with the urgent. That is something that is urgently needs to be addressed. Now, the important would be is if you're that business owner to put systems and things in place so you never have to deal with that complaint, or less likely you'll have a customer complain about something that's going on in your business. You know, a great example of that is probably really Chick-fil-A. How many people love Chick-fil-A? Like, I can live on Chick-fil-A, okay? That's like the only fast food I can eat all day, every day, and I don't feel guilty. You can't make me feel guilty. I love it that much. So like, as you go to Chick-fil-A, what is one thing they're really good at is customer service. They're amazing at it. Like, it's almost kind of creepy at how good they are. But after everything they do for you, like, you could slap them in the face and they'll probably be like, my pleasure. You know, everything is my pleasure right back at you. So, you know, I'll never forget, you know, after experiencing Chick-fil-A culture, one day going to McDonald's, and then I did my order through the drive-thru, and I heard the most offensive, grotesque thing I've ever heard. Right after I placed my order, they said, my pleasure. And I was thinking to myself, the devil is a liar. You ain't Chick-fil-A. Wolves coming in sheep's clothing. You trying to be a false prophet. You ain't Chick-fil-A. You trying to be something. You ain't, okay? But the reality was this, is that because Chick-fil-A was so good at their customer service, McDonald's took notice of that and they wanted to improve theirs. Now, whether that worked or not, we all know it doesn't work, because you ain't going for the food. You're going because it's cheap and maybe the fries. You definitely ain't going for the ice cream machine. We all know that thing's going to be broken before you even get there. You might as well not even get up. Just go to Walmart, get you a tub of ice cream. Be more worth it. I mean, let's be real. So, like I said, the important things are putting systems in places so you don't have to deal with that customer and have that complaint. So put a system in place so they feel appreciated and valued and things like that. And then the urgent, you avoid that urgent thing of them complaining. Another example is, I'm a car guy. I like to go fast. I have a problem, okay? So I like cars. Now, a fine example of urgent versus important, again, would be, like, say if you didn't change your oil regularly, okay? If you don't change your oil regularly, oil actually breaks down and typically has a shelf lifespan of about 8 years. But if you don't change that oil regularly and you keep running that thing, what happens is the oil is going to burn off, it's going to start to sludge up, and before you know it, you ain't going to have nothing in the engine whatsoever. So your rod bearings and your crank bearings are going to give up the ghost, which means that your motor is toast. So it's going to be an expensive repair. So fixing that repair would be urgent. But what would be important is changing that oil when you're supposed to, so that way you don't ever have to pay for that expensive bill, right? Doesn't that make sense? So we need to make sure that we as Christians, since we are having this limited time in this world, that we focus on the things that are important instead of wasting our times on things that are urgent. So I'm going to say this real quick. I got a question for you guys that I want you to think about as we're going through this, because I'm quick, guys. Don't worry. I'll get you to Zaxby's. Don't worry. The food will still be there, okay? Dragon Buffet, if you need your hepatitis shot, you know, it'll be there, all right? So we will make it, okay? Just hang with me. But the question I want you guys to really think about is, what is the most important thing that you have been distracted currently from pursuing? And that can be a number of things. That could be, you know what, I'm not spending enough time with Jesus and he's supposed to be the most important thing. That could be like, hey, you know, I have a hot spouse and I haven't taken them out to eat on a date. And I'll be guilty of that. That's something I need to take my wife on a date. Let's be real. This message is for me. But maybe that's your thing. Or maybe you spent so much time providing for your family and your kids that you haven't actually spent time to enjoy your kids, and that's probably why you hate them. I mean, we just got to spend that time wisely that's given to us, because we are very limited in it, right? So our verses today are going to come out of Luke 10, 38 through 40, and I think it's going to magically appear as I speak. Bam, there it is. Hoo-ah! It's magic. All right. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you even care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things." That feels like us sometimes. We're upset and worried about too much sometimes. "But few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." There are many things that come our way. Let's be real. Let's put this in perspective. How many of y'all, when you know someone's coming to your house, you're going to clean your house? I mean, pretty much most of us are going to clean our house. Like, if you knew Pastor Hans and Jackie coming to your house, the last thing you want to be known as the person that left the Legos on the floor and Pastor Jackie steps on the Legos, right? You don't want Pastor Jackie stepping on a Lego. So you can, I think even more so, if you got Jesus coming to your house, you're probably going to burn all your kids' Legos, because you don't want Jesus to definitely step on a Lego. I mean, for all I know, that probably sends you straight to hell. I don't know. But we don't want to step on that Lego, right? So we try to make things look pretty and nice and presentable because of that expectation. But what's more important is that we have relationship with the person that's coming, that's visiting. So not that Martha wasn't doing something valued and needed, because she was. But the reality was, what was more important in that moment was being with Jesus, because they had no idea whether they were going to see him again or anything else. That was an important moment. That was an important time. I'm going to tell myself real quick. Like, my wife and I, we get busy sometimes. And once in a blue moon, I really say once in a blue moon, we pay a friend that actually has a house cleaning business, and they'll come in and they'll clean our little condo that we're staying in. And the funny thing is that we're paying this person to come and clean our house, but what do we do? We clean the house before she even get there. We're doing half the work, and then we're paying her. I mean, that don't make a lot of sense, but that's just in our nature, is that we have to do these things because they're needed to be done, and nobody wants to be the dirty house or the one with the Legos on the ground and all that. So that's what we end up doing. So I kind of told myself, so don't tell my wife. She's probably in here, actually. But so I got three things for you all today. Three things that's going to kind of help us, that once we figure out the things that are important in our lives, how to kind of like put those in perspective and put them where they need to be and prepare ourselves for those things. So the first thing is create artificial deadlines. What's an artificial deadline? It's an artificial deadline. It's fake. It doesn't exist. It's not real. But if there's something important you need to do, you create a deadline so that way you get it finished. You make it a priority. A fine example of that is us pastors. I mean, we speak every week. Now, for me, since I'm the youth pastor, those poor kids, since I'm the youth pastor, it's my job to make sure I bring the word. So every Tuesday is like my set day. Like the message isn't due till like 7 p.m. on Wednesday, like right before service. But I make an effort to make sure it's done on Tuesday. And I use Tuesdays because pastors, we get one day off during the week because Sunday is technically a work day for us. So we have another day that's kind of compensated in that. So that's the day that I focus on the message because I have no distractions. It's just me at home. Son's at daycare, wife's at work, so I can focus on the word that I need to bring for those students. So I create an artificial deadline so that way when Wednesday comes, I'm not stressing about it. I'm not worrying about it. What's important is already done. The cool thing about creating artificial deadlines is it forces you to delegate a few things. And let's be real, sometimes we waste our time on things that we could delegate. And let's be real, most of you guys have kids. I'll say that's why you have kids. You guys clean the dishes. You guys take out the trash. No, but that's the reality is when you create these artificial deadlines, it forces you to delegate. A fun example of that within the youth ministry for me is that there's a lot that goes on our service. Even on a Sunday morning service here, you have the lights, you have the worship music, the worship practices, you have the slides, you have the words for the songs, you have all the media and social media that's posted, you have the sermons, you make sure the building looks clean and pretty. There's all these things that you got to get in place. Well, what's the most important thing out of all that list? I would say would probably be preparing that message and making sure that I'm hearing from God to bring the word for these students. Because what good is all the rest of it if I don't know what God's saying? You know, I need to know what the Lord is saying so I can speak it over these students. So that's why it's important that I focus on that. And what does that allow me to do? It allows me to delegate the things that are still very valuable and needed to other people. So I have a great team, and many of you guys are leaders and volunteers in this church, and you are very needed in this church. I belittle no job. They're all so important in the functioning of the body to make sure things flow the way they need to. And my leaders, they pick up things. They do the lights. They do the sound. They help get games and stuff set up, and they take care of greeting. They help do a lot of things, and they're needed. And let's be real. Sometimes when you delegate, you'll find out that people are better at that thing than you are. You know what I mean? So not only are you entrusting someone else to do it, to make sure it's done, but you're also giving someone else an opportunity to really lead and to really shine in their own gifting as well. So it's important to make sure that we create those artificial deadlines and we learn to delegate the things that maybe aren't number one on the priority scale, aren't the most important at that moment. The next thing that I'm going to give you guys is number two, is be selective in your yes. So the first one was making sure you have the artificial deadlines and making sure that you delegate some things. The second is being selective in your yes. Let's be real. Like I said, we have a limited amount of time that we're on this earth. We have a limited amount of time in our days every single day. Sometimes you're going to have to say no to some things. And there's going to be a lot of things you're saying yes to. But as Pastor Han said, every time you say yes to something, you're saying no to something else. So when you say yes to working late, you might be saying no to having dinner with your family. Let's be real. So every time we make those decisions, so we have to be selective in the things that we're saying yes and the things that we're saying no to. I encourage my leaders because we have two services for youth. We have one on Wednesdays and we have one on Sunday mornings. When we started that, I told them, if you can't do both, don't feel bad to tell me you can't. I don't want you burned out. You are useless to me if you are trying to do too many things and you're burned out and saying yes to everything. I need you at the top of your game. So if you can do both and that's what you want to do, by all means, I support that. But if you're going to get burned out, don't do it. Don't do it. So you need to learn to say no to a few things and don't be afraid to say no to a lot. If you haven't been home with your family, then maybe you don't need to go to that birthday party that Aunt Susie's been harassing you about the nephew that's your third cousin twice removed you haven't seen in 20 years. Okay? It's not a big deal then. Like, you got to prioritize the things that are the most important versus the things that are urgent. So don't be afraid to say no, but always be willing to say yes to the things that are important and put them first. a fine example of that for my days off. I'm going back to my days off. My days off, because I'm total guy, was like, I'm going to watch some movies where things explode. You know, I want on my day off, on Tuesdays, I wanted to watch things where things blew up. You know, there's intense action scenes, play some video games so I can feel like I'm living it, you know, look at cars, all this other stuff and hobbies I wanted to do. And then the Lord convicted me. He said, your time would be better used focusing on me and getting in my presence, because the next day you have service. The next day you have to bring the word for the students at Fountain of Life Church. So it challenged me not to watch movies and do this, all this other stuff on my day off, but instead to start focusing on the presence of God so I could be filled up in the natural and filled up in the spirit for the next thing that God had for me. And an interesting thing with this as well that the Lord told me on that same, dealing with that same thing, is my son, before he was even born, before he was even conceived, before he was ever here for me, the Lord told my wife and I that we were going to have a son. That was going to be our first kid, was going to be a boy. Lord was right. And he said his name was going to be Josiah, and he said that he was going to be the fire of God, which that's what Josiah means, is the fire of God. So that's, we did what the Lord said. We named him Josiah. But one thing he also said that Josiah was going to do is that he was going to play a big, like, call on his life was going to be music ministry. And to what extent, I have no idea. Will he be Chris Tomlin? That would be kind of cool, but I don't know. It's whatever God has for him, you know? But the Lord laid on my heart, I'm a musician. What is a better use of my time, playing video games, watching movies, or getting better musically, so that way if my son's call is music, I can help build him up and help raise him and encourage him in his gifting and his call? Because as a father, that is my goal, is that I need to lift up my family and help prepare them for whatever God is calling them to do with their life. Amen, amen. So you have to start to look at things, not, and you look at that, playing video games and watching movies necessarily aren't bad, but they're not the most productive use and wisest use of my time, right? Because it's limited. So just because something is good doesn't make it bad all of a sudden if you're not doing it, but you got to weigh out what's more important at that time. The final thing I have for you guys, the third point that I have here, is do first what matters most. Do the best first. And you're like, well, what's the best first? Well, for me, I'm going to be real with you, the best thing for me is having a relationship with Jesus, because God's supposed to be first in our life as Christians, right? God's supposed to be first in everything. It's about Him. It's not about me. So if I put God first, and I spend time with Him first every day, that He's going to help me with all that stuff. He's going to help me make those decisions. He's going to help me decide what to say yes to and what to say no to. He's going to show me what's important and what's urgent. He's going to help me decipher those things. So it's important to put God first every single day. I got convicted when I was a student in high school. I had a youth pastor, and he gave a sermon. And I was the type of guy that, like, I'm not a big reader. I'm the type of guy, give me the movie or give me the picture book, all right? Like, I like pop-up books. I can roll with that. You know, Jesus pops up. Never mind. That could go really wrong really fast. But anyway, the reality is that's the way I am. So when I would read the Bible, I liked reading it at night. And I did that because it was quieter, everything was settled down, and I could focus and everything else. But as he gave this message, he said that you need to read the Word in the morning and spend time with Jesus in the morning. Why? Because one, it's really going to help prepare you for that day. Because let's be real, we face spiritual warfare day in and day out. The second you wake up to the second you go to sleep, and even while you're asleep, there's spiritual warfare taking place over you, over your family, over your life. So we need to make sure that we have the armor of God on all day. We don't wait until the nighttime to get ready for battle. You need to be ready for battle in the morning when you wake up. And then the second thing is, just like I said, that when you put Jesus first, you start, your heart and your mind start to align with the will and heart of God. So as we get in God's presence, we become in alignment with Him, and He's going to help show us His heart and show us the things that are the important things and show us the things that are the urgent things, show us the things that we need to say yes to, and show us the things that we need to say no to. So we come in a unity with God that we can see those things and we can see more clearly, and we can be more effective in those things. Because like Pastor John said, whatever you say yes to, you're saying no to something else. Matthew 6:33, it says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek his righteousness first. Everything else will be taken care of. Everything else will be given to you. Everything else will come into alignment when you put God first and you focus on him. He's going to guide you. He's going to show you. He's going to speak to you. I believe in a God that's active. I don't believe in a God that's dormant. I believe in a God that is going to speak to me every single day, that's going to guide me through the hardest decisions and even the easiest decisions in my life. And let's be real. If we're to seek what matters most, isn't it most important to seek the one who matters most first? So seeking Jesus first is going to help us to make sure that we seek the other things that matter most in our lives. So we need to put Jesus first. We're going to get ready and go ahead and close. But I want right now, with nobody looking around, I want everyone to close their eyes and to bow their heads and think about that question that I presented to you. If we're to seek what matters most, should we not seek out who matters most first? Shouldn't we not seek Jesus? And then think about the first question I asked you. What is the most important thing that you are distracted right now from pursuing in your life? And that can be a number of things. And I'm just asking the Holy Spirit to reveal it to you, because I never want a single person to come to church and leave the same. I want them to leave different. I want to leave different as well. So what is it, the one thing that's important that you're not doing? And I'll be real with you, for me, I need to take my wife on a date. I need to show her I love her and I appreciate her. Get some one-on-one time. Maybe yours is spending some more time with Jesus. Maybe yours is showing your kids you love them and that you're not just disciplining them and just providing for them. Maybe yours is just even being obedient to God. God's told you to do something and you haven't done it. Maybe it's your health. Maybe you need to start taking care of your body. Important versus urgent. Important would be making sure you're eating healthy and exercising. Urgent is when you let it get so bad the doctor gives you a bad report because you're not doing it. What is God saying to you right now? You guys can go ahead and open your eyes. I just wanted you to think. And the reason why I did that was for a reason. Because when we have so many people around us right now, there's so many noises going on, and then my big head is up here with the microphone, it's easy to get distracted. I don't want you to be distracted. I have a little illustration here. I love visual illustrations. They're amazing. I totally stole this from Pastor Hans. Don't tell him, okay? I stole this from him. This was his idea, okay? So don't tell him, even though I'm on live stream right now. Some of you are already looking at me like you already text him. I don't know what the deal is. But anyway, he knows. But I stole this from him. So the reality is, this ping pong ball, I'm not going to throw it at you, don't worry, though I thought about it a few times. This ping pong ball represents the things that are important. The marble, which I may throw at somebody, represents the urgent. I had a few people raise their hand. That's so bad. But the marble represents the things that are urgent. If I'm real, if my whole life is doing things that are urgent and being busy, busy doesn't mean you're being productive. Busy doesn't mean you're actually getting anywhere. Busy doesn't mean you're actually being fruitful. It just means you're distracted most of the time. But if I'm allow my life to be full of the things that are urgent, it's very hard for the things that are important to fit in there, right? They're not going to fit in this jar. I can't get that ball in there. As much as I would like to, I can't get it in there. But when I focus on the things that are important first, the cool thing is it leaves space for the other things in my life that are urgent. And now the container's more full than it was. But Seth Godin, I think it was Godin, said that when you focus on the things that are important, you'll have less urgent things to deal with. And he said, the opposite is never true. It's never true. You can focus on the urgent all you want. There's always going to be more urgent. But when you focus on the important, there'll be less urgent things to deal with. And not only that, I firmly believe when you focus on the important first, it helps align everything in your life. It's, if you focus on the important, it's going to help your finances. Pay that bill, pay that debt. Don't go out to eat 30 times a week, okay? Like, whatever you've got going on, you got to focus on the important. Spend time with your family. Spend time with your spouse. Show them you love them and appreciate them. Get to know your kids. Do the best at your job. Do what you need to at your job. So we need to focus on the things that are important and not the things that are urgent. If I can get everyone to go ahead and stand. I'm going to get you all to go ahead and close your eyes once again. Don't worry, if you fall asleep, I'll catch you. It may be after you fall. I haven't decided yet. But I'll catch you. In my mind, in my heart, I'll catch you. I think if we're really honest and we're really real right now, there's some things in our lives that are important that are not getting the attention they deserve. And I shared a little of mine with you. It's okay to be real. It's okay to be vulnerable, because you don't get healing and you don't get things fixed if you don't allow yourself to be vulnerable, if you hide it all and don't work on it. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if there's anyone in here that can say, you know what, your message, Conrad, speaks to me today. That there's some things in my life that I'm focusing on that are urgent, and I'm forsaking the things that are important. And that you say that, you know what, I just want to come in alignment with God, put Jesus first, and focus on the important things. If that's you today, if you would just go ahead and raise your hand, I'm just going to pray with you. Awesome, 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 awesome. Praise the Lord. You guys can put your hands down. I'm going to pray with you, and then I'm going to do another prayer for if you know Jesus or not. We'll get to that in a second. But I just want to pray with you guys that raised your hands. Dear God, I praise you and I thank you for everybody in this church. The amazing hearts, the amazing gifts, the amazing talents and personalities, Father. God, that you love them so much. They're not a mistake, God. That you have a perfect plan and a perfect will for their life, Lord God, for their family, Lord God. And I just pray, Father, that right now you would help them and even help myself, God, to focus on the important things, putting you first, our spouse second, our kids third, our ministry and job fourth, because that's the order it needs to go. You don't put your kids above your spouse, I'll tell you that right now. And you don't put none of them above Jesus. But God, that you would help us put the important things first, that we can be better and more effective, not only in our relationships, God, but we can also be more effective in bringing people to Christ, bringing people to you, bringing souls into the kingdom, Father. I thank you for everybody in this church. And I just ask that you bless them and you give them favor over everything they touch. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you guys for watching or listening online today. I pray this service was a great blessing to you. You know, the greatest question you'll ever be asked in your life is, are you ready to meet the Lord? Are you serving the Lord with all of your heart? You know, my main goal in preaching, my main goal in providing these online services is to see people accept Christ and come to a vibrant relationship with God. So right now, if you've never accepted Him into your heart, why don't you pray this prayer with me and ask Him in? It's that simple. You just say, Lord, come into my life. Be the Lord of my life. And God will make a dramatic change in your heart. And let's pray this right now. If you are ready to accept the Lord into your heart, you want to ask Him in, just pray this prayer with me right now. Father, in Jesus' name, come into my life. Come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. I give you all of my sin, all of my past, and I pray you wash it away and make something beautiful of my life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. If you said that prayer, I believe God has come into your life and has done something amazing in your heart. Continue to follow us online. We would love to continue to be a blessing to you and your family.